Well, the sermon title this morning is Thank God. I wonder what would make you shout for joy at the top of your lungs? What would make you fall down flat on your face in gratitude? Well, I remember back in August 2010 when 33 Chilean miners were trapped over 7,000 meters under the ground for 69 days. And I remember, And I remember seeing this image of Esteban Rojas kneeling. Even though some of those who were rescued at the time didn't have the energy to shout for joy, their joy and relief and gratitude was so evident. This encapsulated for me this thank God moment. In the Bible, there is an equally famous thank God moment, a story of gratitude captured for us in Luke's Gospel in Luke chapter 17 that I want us to revisit on this Thanksgiving Sunday. So I encourage you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. If you could turn the screen at the back around. Luke chapter 17, looking at verses 11 to 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And they went, and as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." I wonder what you found more surprising. The fact that one came back shouting for joy and fell at Jesus' feet, or the fact that 9 didn't. There are many things that we take for granted, I think, simply because we are creatures of habit. For example, if we're used to driving to and from work safely, and so we assume that is always the way it's going to be. When we get dressed in the morning and we expect to find our clothes clean and right there where we want them, and when they're not, we can react. Oh, we don't have any audio. There we go. Lights. Yes. I preferred to show you that one instead of any meltdowns that happen in the Esau household when things aren't the way I or others expect them to be. I just mention this to remind us that we take a lot of things for granted. The absence of something could prod us to react badly, or it could prod us to respond with gratitude for the many times when things actually went right. When people were faithfully doing good things, and it never seemed to cross our mind to say an appropriate thank you. We are, all of us, actually habitually thankless. Thankless in all areas and in areas and times of our life. So we actually need people and experiences to prod and to prompt us to count our blessings, to remember the many good provisions that we have received from God and from others. A sudden absence of something can be a blessing in disguise when it wakes us up to all the goodness and faithfulness that we have been in the habit of taking for granted. I appreciated the reading that you chose for us this morning, because for me it did that. It's It's also a blessing to see and hear people give thanks to God in times and in ways that really stand out. Stand out because of the depth of thankfulness that is expressed. A thankfulness that has often, when it is a great big thankfulness, is something that has been sharpened, it has been deepened through a season of adversity. The 10 men whom Jesus met as he was going into a village along the border between Samaria and Galilee were in a long, long season of great adversity. It says that they were lepers. The Greek word lepra in the New Testament times was a general word for a variety of skin diseases that may have included the disease we now refer to as Hansen's disease. But it was broader. Could be psoriasis or eczema or seborrhea or some other kind of skin ailment. It was seen as irregular and therefore potentially contagious and therefore required isolation. Keep your distance. And so we read, they stood at a distance and they shouted out so that they could be heard. They didn't just withdraw and climb under a rock. They took the initiative to seek out Jesus and to seek his help. I wonder, where and who do you turn to when you have a problem that you can't solve? We often turn to specialists, or we turn to someone who will listen, someone who will at least care. I think that these 10 lepers went to Jesus because his reputation preceded him. He was someone who cared. He was someone who cared deeply, who cared broadly, someone who could always do something to change the scenario, even in supernatural ways. Luke tells us that Jesus saw. He took notice. He gave them his attention. In fact, he gave them, I think, his undivided attention, which must have been incredibly refreshing for these people who had been overlooked and passed by, who people preferred to turn their gaze away. And he also gave them something to do. Something to do when it seemed like there was nothing that they could do to make any difference in their situation. Feeling totally helpless, Jesus said, "Go, go, show yourselves to the priests. Go show yourselves to the people whose job it was to confirm your disease in the first place, and whose job it is to verify your healing, so that you can be free not only from this disease, but from the social isolation and ostracism that you have lived under for so very, very long." And as they went, Luke said, while they were on their way, simply and clearly taking Jesus at his word, they were cleansed. A step of faith of some kind was an essential ingredient in their healing. And I wonder why. Why? So often it is. And I think they needed to put themselves out there, to make it evident to themselves and to others that this healing had God's fingerprints all over it. It was unique. It had God's fingerprints all over it. They couldn't say afterwards, "Well, it was just kind of dumb luck." And they couldn't say, "Oh, it was just self-help. Let me tell you how to do this." Interesting. So often in the scriptures, this step of faith, this risk is required. I think of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. The church is in a great challenge. And it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Not before, after. There's a famous scene in the book of Joshua where the Israelites are needing to cross over into the promised land. They're needing to cross the Jordan River, and the Jordan River was at flood stage. Could have been up to a kilometer wide at this point. And God says to them, the priests are going to go ahead carrying the Ark of the Covenant that was represented God's throne. And it says, and as soon as the priests set foot in the Jordan, so as soon as they plunge themselves in, its waters will stop flowing downstream and it will be cut off. And it happened. but only as they plunged, as they got their feet wet, we would say. I remember, it's 22 years ago, when we were expecting our third child. And it was actually on this day, we had just been together for Thanksgiving at the family gathering. And Elaine was saying how much better she felt than the two previous pregnancies. And it was 3 days later, we were in emergency, thinking she was dying and thinking that her young child had died. Because they said, we can't find the baby's heartbeat, let's worry about saving mom. And we spent the next 39 days in the hospital with the ups and downs of whether he was going to make it or not. And on the 39th day, they said, you're going to get home tomorrow. Hadn't been really counting the days so particularly, except it was the 40th day that we were going to get to go home. And then we also noticed each day as we'd been going in and out of the neonatal care at Children's Hospital, there was a rainbow. 40 days. On the 40th day. Those are the kind of things where I call God's fingerprints are on them. These kinds of things are not only for our benefit, so that we know this isn't just dumb luck. We know it's God's. And as we share those stories, it becomes evidence for those who have the eyes to see that God is at work. I'm captivated in this story, especially by the posture of great gratitude. This story reminded me of that story, that image I had seen years ago of the Chilean miner. An image itself that just communicates great gratitude, great respect, and great worship. Some might wonder, is it inappropriate, kind of over the top? Or is it very appropriate? Is it exactly the right response? You see, Jesus' question exposes the inappropriateness of the other's ingratitude. Weren't there 10? Oh, I'm sure the other 9 were grateful. I'm sure they were thankful to be healed. But who were they thankful to? The Samaritan, the one Orthodox Jews thought as religiously deficient, maybe even defective in his beliefs. He proves to be the one who is orthodox in his behavior on this occasion. He was crystal clear on the source of his healing and how he ought to respond. And when he saw that he was healed, it says, immediately, that is, he didn't put it off. You know, sometimes I have this experience where a thought comes to my mind and I thought, oh, I can do that later. And when do I get to that? When he saw that he was healed, he went. He came back, Luke says, and he came back praising God. The one who had been pleading in a loud voice. Notice what it says. Now he comes praising in a loud voice. Appropriate. Remember a friend of ours, Leslie, we had been praying for something for a long time, and she says, when God answers this prayer, we want to make sure that we praise him for as long as we were praying for it. That was deeply impactful, because God did answer that prayer. And so often he finally answers, and it is even a little proportion of how long we prayed that we say, thank you, God. But this Samaritan threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. I think we have this story because I think it was an image that the disciples never forgot. It was like a memorial, a reminder in story form of great gratitude. A thank God moment that was forever imprinted, tattooed on their minds. And so I want to give you an opportunity this morning. Maybe you have a thank God moment.